The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, sunshine, and welcome to She Was a Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. I'm Courtney Mangan, your host, and it is episode 3 of season 2 and the very first court report of 2021. So if you are new here, the court report is basically where I give you all of my top recommendations for the month. So before we get started, as always, if you could share this podcast with your family and friends, word of mouth is super important. I would really appreciate it. All right, today's fire starter is a bit of an oldie, but a goodie, and you'll get why I chose this song a bit later on the episode. But we're going with You're the First, My Last, My Everything, Barry White. The first, my last, my everything. Just a bit of a banger, but like an old school banger. Yeah, a bit romantic. All right. Let's ignite today's topic, the court report for January. Let's start with the verdict is in. And this month I saw Wonder Woman 1984. And I will preface this by saying I loved the first Wonder Woman. I love a female superhero. I loved, you know, it was a female director as well. Like, Gal was so amazing in the role. Like, I just thought it was like a good mix of funny, action, like just so much like girl kicking ass vibes. This one was also girl kicking ass, but also girl with a lot of plot holes. That's what I found anyway. So I did like it. I found it to be a little drawn out and a lot of plot holes. I'm not going to give any spoilers away here, obviously, but they were a little more off-putting than I was willing to just like concede. You know, sometimes when a movie's so good, you're like, oh, I can let it go. But this one, it was like, can I let it go? I don't think so. I will say it is worth seeing at the cinema if you do want to see it, because there's some great action scenes that are pretty epic that, you know, just like the first film. And if you just love a superhero movie, then I guess, yeah, go see it. It's good. It's just not great. And I think that's the trouble, that like the first one was so good. And I think the problem with DC Comics is they can't seem to fucking get it right. You know, Marvel, every movie is better than the last. I mean, think about the third Thor compared to the first one. They just keep getting better with age, much like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Hemsworth. But this was like, no, it was a fluke that you got the first Wonder Woman right, because like when you think of all the other DC comic films, they have been flops. You know, Ben Affleck as Batman, what the fuck was that? Then there was that Aquaman movie. I mean, no, a lot of these movies have been terrible. And then Wonder Woman was like the shining light. This movie definitely wasn't terrible. It was still quite good, but there were a lot of plot holes that I found are like a little bit like, eh, that was awkward that they just don't explain that at all. Still fine. I went with my dad to see it. He enjoyed it, but also said the plot holes were a bit off-putting. My friend Belinda has seen it, and she said, yeah, it was still really good to see like a kick-ass film. It was good to watch at the movies, like an action film, but not as good as the first one. So it seems to be like an all-round vibe. All right, the other thing for the verdict is in new that I consumed this month was Dr. Death Season 2. Now, this is a podcast, and I've talked about Dr. Death Season 1 before, and this is a podcast by Wondery, and they do some of the best true crime podcasts out there. Season 1 was about a neurosurgeon, I think he was. Yeah, and he was like basically killing his patients, being a bad surgeon. And he's in prison now, spoiler alert. But this one is about the rise and fall of Dr. Farid Fata. He's an oncologist who built a medical empire basically by defrauding his patients. So he treated thousands of patients by prescribing them rounds of chemotherapy. Plot twist, some of them didn't even have cancer. So he was like this really reputable guy that people were going to see at like his cancer clinic, and they didn't actually have cancer, and he was putting them through all these treatments which take a huge toll on your body, and some of them actually passed away because of the treatments he was putting them through. And some of the people that even did have cancer, he was either prescribing low doses of the medicine that would make them sick for longer, or keeping patients on toxic levels of chemotherapy that made it unlikely for them to survive because they didn't actually need those levels. It was just like
pretty baffling, the stuff that was going on. And as somebody obviously who has an oncologist who is going through a similar, like, you know, I'm going through the cancer treatment and stuff, it was pretty scary about and did make me think how much trust you put in like one person and what they say. I will say though, like in Australia, or the, you know, my perspective anyway, is that I've been able to see all the tests and the results and the information that you get from the people that do the PET scans and the MRIs and stuff, and you see their report, so that even if my doctor was to say, like, yes, there's cancer, if I was to read the report from the guy who actually did the scan, it would say, like, no signs of cancer, you know, so I would be able to cross-check that. In America, it seems like this oncologist wouldn't, like, release any of the medical test results to these people, so they were just, like, bamboozled, I guess. Very sad. Didn't find it as strong as season one, that's for sure. None of the stuff I'm saying is like spoiler alert. All the stuff I just said is like basically the synopsis of the show and you find out in the first 10 minutes, but it's just like baffling to see it all unravel. I didn't find it, yeah, as strong as season one. It was, I did have someone say to me like, oh, hopefully this isn't triggering to you. And I didn't find it triggering because I trust my medical team. I've had lots of different doctors involved in my process. So it's not just one guy that I'm trusting. I've been able to see the results of tests and stuff like that. So I feel confident. I'm not triggered by it, which is good. But yeah, very sad. But definitely there has been many points during this journey for my cancer treatment where I've had to like put my hand up and say, hang on, like this isn't right. Hang on, can you double check this? And it does really show you how much faith you can put in medicine because we don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what I'm talking about. So you just don't question anybody. So I guess it kind of shows sometimes how important second opinions can be. Anyway, it was a pretty good podcast. It was, I think, about 6 episodes. Not as good as season one, but I did still like it and I consumed it pretty quick because I was interested in it. All right, moving on to my next segment, Never Have I Ever. If you're new here, Never Have I Ever is a segment where I watch a movie that I've never seen before that is something everyone else has already seen, like a really iconic movie like Star Wars. I've never seen that. It would be in this segment if I was to watch it. So this month's Never Have I Ever was 4 Weddings and a Funeral. And I love a rom-com and I love British rom-coms, so it's weird that I haven't seen this. And so basically, obviously, I wouldn't say I'm going to give any spoilers away, but this is a very old movie, so if you haven't seen it, like, you know, that's on you. It's, as always, in British films, the side kooky best friend person is always like crazy. There's always a sibling or a best friend that's like super kooky, just like in Notting Hill. They always have that in British films and that lives up to the hype here. This movie is basically about a group of friends that attend 4 weddings and a funeral, and it's like them going to all these different events and then someone, like a couple, falling in love through that process kind of thing. Hugh Grant is in it and he's just so lovable and charming as always and just like the perfect anti-bad boy, which is like obviously his on-screen persona, and then off-screen he was really not that at all. He was like the epitome of a bad boy, but just so lovable. And oh God, I miss the heyday of Hugh Grant. What a good time. Did I say Hugh Jackman earlier? Immunobrain is kicking in. I mean Hugh Grant. Mr. Bean's in this movie. He just pops up randomly in British films, doesn't he? Like in Love Actually, like, boop, there he is. And he's just always so funny. He's a priest in one of these wedding scenes and he's just so hilarious. Like just his presence on screen, his silent acting is always just so funny. There's a classic rain scene, which we've come to love from lots of rom-coms, and it just has that really good vibe about it that's like two people who like kind of don't like each other, they do like each other. Oh no, like he likes her, she likes him, or just a girl standing in front of her. All those kinds of elements are in it. Love it. I did think it would be a little funnier. I didn't find it as humorous as I thought. Like I thought it was a straight up comedy rom-com. And I thought that it like maybe isn't as funny as what I expected it to be. It was still like a cute movie. I don't know though if I would like remember it forever as one of the all-time great rom-com films. You know, I'm not sure if it lives quite up to that hype. And I do realize that sometimes it is hard when you haven't seen something at the time. So I think when, you know, like for example, The Notebook, when that came out, it was like everyone was talking about it. It was so hyped up. Like it lives forever in pop culture history. you know, all of that kind of stuff. And then so you remember that nostalgia when you rewatch it and you're like, wow, what a great film. If you watched it 10 years after the hype and you weren't a part of that whole process, you might be like, eh, he gets old, she gets older. It's cute. You know what I mean? You might not be as wrapped up in it because you don't remember what it was like when you were a teenager watching the movie for the first time and everyone was talking about it. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes with these movies, it is a little bit harder for me to judge it the same way like if you saw it when it came out at its peak. But I did think it was a really cute movie. It's not in my top 10 of rom-coms, but it was a fun watch. And what I'm going to do for next month is I'm going to get you guys to vote in the Facebook group between three or four different movies. I'm going to put them up and then you guys are going to vote for what movie I will watch for February for the next Never Have I Ever. And then I hope eventually you guys will start to watch those movies with me if you haven't seen them either. And we can kind of jump onto the Facebook group and discuss like what we liked, what we didn't like about these movies. And I think that could just be like a cute topic for discussion. All right, so head over to my Facebook page, She Was the Fire. It's a closed Facebook group and I will add you and you can become part of the conversation. All right, let's get into the guts of the episode, what you should be watching coming up. First up, I think you've heard about this. Everyone's heard about it and that's Bridgerton. Now, I watched this pretty much the day it came out. I've been eagerly waiting this because I love Shonda Rhimes. You know, Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. If Shonda Rhimes had a name on it, I've watched it. There's been like, I want to say like three or four TV shows only had one season from Shonda Rhimes that I've also watched, which ironically is one called For the People, which was a Shonda Rhimes legal show. And one of the stars of that show was the main guy from Bridgerton. People were like, who is this new man? I'm like, hey, he's the guy from For the People that only lasted one season. So basically, if you don't know what this is, you've been living under a rock. It's a new show on Netflix. It's based on some books about this family, the Bridgerton family, and every season of this show, of which it's been signed up for a couple more already, will be about a different lot of siblings from that family. So this one is obviously about like the main girl, the oldest daughter. And so it's about like her life following what happens to her, how she like whatever happened. Yeah, her, I don't want to give any spoilers in case you haven't watched it, but basically what happens to her in her life over like a few year space. And then next season will be about one of the other siblings. So basically it's during the Regency era in England. It's basically eight close-knit siblings. They're in a powerful family, which is a Bridgerton family. And it's just about basically all about them trying to find love. But it's also like a old Gossip Girl set in like that era. So it has this element of like a voiceover that's giving you the gossip of the town and giving everyone in the town the gossip of the happenings that are going on, but nobody knows who she is. You know, it's like exactly like Gossip Girl, but then like high class version of it. And you feel a little fancy when you're watching it because it's like all those like, you know, those pretty dresses and proper, you know, cup of tea vibes. Oh my God, is that my way of being fancy? How embarrassing. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. And then all of a sudden they're like very sexual, getting down and dirty. And you're like, wow, okay, this is more like a modern day show. It felt a little bit like Shonda Rhimes was trapped within the ABC network and only allowed to show a certain level of sexual scene. You know, on Grey's Anatomy, it's just like a little bit of kissing in the elevator. It's not like too heavy, hot and heavy, because it's, you know, it's like mainstream TV, the ABC. They can't go too hard with it. But now she's with Netflix, it's all off. It's very sexual. And I was like, whoa, loving it. You know, so if you're a single lady, check it out. All right, next up is The Bump, and that is on Stan, and it's an Aussie drama. It has 10 episodes, and it centers around this girl called Ollie. She's like an ambitious, highly achieving teenager who is basically surprised by the fact that she's pregnant and having a baby, like straight away, like on the day of the birth, they're like, you're in labor. She's like, what? And it just basically shows the complications between the baby daddy's family and her family. It's super quirky, honest, has a lot of heart. It's like a dramedy. Stars Claudia Carvin, who is just like, I guess, Australian acting TV royalty. It's from the producer, John Edwards, who also did Puberty Blues and Offspring, which are two iconic Australian shows. If you haven't seen Offspring, like, what are you doing with your life? It's already been picked up for season two. It's beating all the Stan records. It's just a really, it's a very Australian show. You watch it and you feel like I'm watching an Australian show in all the best ways. It's just so raw and honest, relatable, has a lot of diversity going on, which you love to see. And yeah, it's just a really nice feel-good show. It's just something kind of easy to watch with a lot of heart, is what I would say. Highly recommend. The other thing I'm recommending to you guys this month is The Bling Empire. Now, this is about, it's a reality show. It's also on Netflix, and it's basically wildly wealthy Asians and Asian Americans going out, partying, glamour, drama, all in Los Angeles. It's got that Selling Sunset and Shahs of Sunset vibe, but with like a lot more money, like family money that's worth billions kind of thing. It's kind of like watching Crazy Rich Asians in a TV show set in Los Angeles kind of vibes. And I just, it's just such an easy show to watch. I just fell in love with it straight away. I like consumed the whole thing. Can't wait for the next season. Invested in these people's lives. It's just like, I also, one of the reasons I love Shahs of Sunset, it's also set in LA, is that you get to, although they're American, they're obviously like Asian Americans, you get to see these different cultural ceremonies and behaviors, and you sort of learn a little bit more about different cultures, which is really interesting. Then you also see how they're sort of like cultures are mixing with the American culture, and how, you know, their family doesn't like certain changes because obviously the kids have been in America longer than the parents have, or maybe their family is still back in China. And so they like don't understand some of the changes that they've made, all that kind of stuff. It's quite interesting. I find it really entertaining. And there's a woman on there who, her dad, I believe it was, is like an arms dealer. And she's like, I guess she'd be in her like 60s or, yeah, she'd have to be in her 60s, 50s or 60s. And so she's just basically lived off her family fortune because her dad's an arms dealer. Like, that's a lot of fucking money, and like very serious people. Like, wow. And she's a bit crazy. So loving it. Highly recommend. All right, on to an oldie but a goodie that you should be watching. First up, I'm going to give you a movie that I watched, I rewatched the other day, and that is Primal Fear. And that stars Richard Gere and Edward Norton. It's a 90s movie, and it's about a young altar boy whose life changes when he's accused of murdering a priest. And things like take a turn when Richard Gere is his, like, he's a renowned lawyer and he takes on his case. And it kind of just follows the case of like, did he, didn't he murder this priest? It's so good, guys. Every turn, it's like, ooh, such a good thriller. It's obviously got that legal element to it. Such excellent acting. It's some of Edward Norton's best work. Highly recommend. TV shows that are oldies but are goodies. Ally McBeal. It popped up on 7 Plus the other day. I'm so excited. Ally McBeal is one of my all-time favorite shows. It's a 90s show, and it's about a young lawyer who is Ally McBeal, played by Calista Flockhart, who is one of my all-time favorite TV actresses. And basically just the emotional turmoil that she goes taking a job at a firm where her childhood sweetheart also works and her first love interest. And it just is basically following her love life. And then there's all these really quirky legal cases thrown in. All the characters that work at the law firm are equally as nuts as the next. It also stars Robert Downey Jr. Oh, it's where I first fell in love with Robert Downey Jr. Love him. It was during the peak of his drug addiction though, so it wasn't a great time for him, but I did love him on that show. And yeah, that's why I chose today's song, the Barry White song, because it's a very iconic song in the Ally McBeal world. It's just such a fun show to watch, and I just really bloody loved it. So I highly recommend that's on 7 Plus. Another thing on 7 Plus is a reality show that I've been watching for years that I guess is a little bit more under the radar. It's an MTV show, and it's called Are You the One? So if you're someone who likes shows like Love Island, Bachelor in Paradise kind of vibes, you will love this show. So it's a dating show that uses like modern technology to help people find love. But like, I don't know if it's actually real technology or not, or if it's like a bit of a farce, like Married at First Sight. Ooh, that's on like the reunions coming up. Can't wait to see that. So basically it's 20 plus single men and women. So it'll be 10 men, 10 women. And it's their way to, they have to try and find their perfect mate. So what they've done is they've gotten these 20 people, and they have assigned each of them their perfect match based on what they need, what they've asked for. So say I go in there and I say like, oh, I need a man who, you know, really likes to take control. He's like driven. He's got a sense of humor, whatever. I'll throw in a guy like that. And he's one of the 10 males in the house. And I have 10 weeks or whatever it is to try and figure out who in the house is my perfect match. At the end of every week, You have to choose. So you stand up and you say, I think my perfect match is John. And then you sit together and then the computer system does this like thing where it's like, oh, three of the matches are right. And so then you have to try and figure out who's sitting with the right person or who needs to move around. But where the trouble gets in is that people's hearts are involved. And like, even though John might be right for me on paper, I like this bad boy Alex over here. So I'm going to start hooking up with him. And then because I'm focusing on Alex, I'm not actually figuring out that John's my true match. And so it's for $1 million and the whole group wins it together if they get all of the 10 matches exactly right. If they don't, everybody loses together. So it's all these fighting because it's like, Alex isn't your perfect match. Stop like hanging out with him. You're like close-minded. You're fucking it up for the rest of us. It's just so much drama. It's so good. So if you love really, really bad reality TV with like a love element, Love Island vibes, go for this, all right? Are You the One? 7+. I think there's 8 seasons. All right, next up, what to listen to? All I've listened to this month is pretty much Justin Bieber's songs, Holy, Anyone, Lonely, his collab with Shawn Mendes, Monster, and of course, Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. Like, cannot get it out of my head. I just keep playing it on repeat. Such a good song. If you don't know what it is, you've been living under a rock, or maybe you're just like a normal human. but so invested in this story with this whole like love triangle that's going on in this song. But Driver's License, such a good song. Obsessed with it. Our new podcast that I've been listening to. There's only 3 episodes out so far and there's 6 episodes all up. It's from Wondery. It's a true crime podcast called The Apology Line and it's such a unique concept. So basically, this is a synopsis. If you could call a number and say you're sorry and no one would know, what would you apologize for? For 15 years, you could call a number. This is a true story. In Manhattan and do just that. This is a story of the line and the man at the other end who became consumed by his own creation. He was known as Mr. Apology. As thousands of calls flooded the line, confessing to everything from shoplifting to infidelity, drug dealing to murder, Mr. Apology realized he couldn't just listen. He had to do something, even if it meant risking everything. So every week, basically, his wife of this Mr. Apology has gotten all these old cassette tapes of him, you know, voicemails or whatever from the 90s or whenever it was, and basically plays all these weird apologies from people. And some of them are like people confessing to be serial killers, which is obviously where my like interest is peaked. So there's like these consistent people who call in every week to talk to him or leave messages with him. And I'm just listening to one now where he's like, I'd like to meet one of the serial killers. Anyway, it's really intriguing, very interesting to see the idea behind the fact that someone wants to apologize or offload their guilt onto a message machine to no one and kind of being like, okay, now I feel much better, even though it's not like they've committed crimes, like they're not getting justice or anything, you know what I mean? Like the police aren't being like, now you're arrested. And you're like, okay, I've done the right thing. At least I turned myself in. Like they're just putting it out into the world with no consequences. And they're feeling like that's enough to keep them going. It's a really interesting concept. I will say the audio is a little difficult to listen to. So I can't listen to it on double speed, which is very frustrating. But they're all really old voice memos or voice, you know, in the old machines where it's like, leave a message after the beep, beep. And then, you know, when you're in your apartment and you can hear someone live leaving the message on the voicemail machine, it's like that old school. And so some of the audio quality isn't the best, but it's still really intriguing. All right, next up, another podcast episode that I specifically liked this month was I Weigh from Jamila Jamil. And it had a guest, Dr. Deepakra Chopra. I think that's how you pronounce her name. And she's sort of like a optimism person focusing on positivity and happiness. And they have this discussion around manifesting and the white privilege attached to manifesting, which really resonated with me because I think it's something I've discussed on this podcast before where I have a bit of difficulty around the concept of just put an idea out into the world and it will come back to you. And how, like, you know, people who are going through really difficult times or, you know, people who live in countries that don't have the opportunities like us, how they can't just manifest a better life. It doesn't work like that. And that manifesting is a very like white privileged thing associated with it. And I really like the discussion they had around manifesting and goal setting and kind of the difference. So I really enjoyed that episode. Another episode I liked was The Skinny Confidential. They had Lisa Vanderpump from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules. And Lisa Vanderpump is a bit of a polarizing character, I guess, in the housewives world. And her character comes into question a lot on that show. And I really enjoyed listening to her outlook on life after she'd been through some very traumatic things over the past couple of years. There was an episode of, or just generally The Daily, I've really enjoyed listening to, which is a podcast from the New York Times. And every episode, every day is about something different. They have different reporters that they interview and they educate you on a different topic every single day. And I found it really informative recently because it's been a lot about American politics, of course, which I know little bits of, but I'm not super educated on. And so stuff about, you know, them overthrowing the Capitol or, you know, trying to take over the Capitol, all that kind of stuff, you know, the Biden versus Trump stuff, I found it very educational. And it's just in sort of bite-sized, easy to understand, palatable episodes, which are very informative. So I highly recommend The Daily. And another podcast episode that I liked this month was The Ed Milette Show, specifically the episode about Grow Your Social Media, Secrets Revealed with Josh Richards. If you don't know who Josh Richards is, he's like a, I don't know, he's got to be like 18 and he's a TikTok star and he seems like just one of those kids that just gets on, he's good looking, does a little dance and then gets millions of followers. But really he talks about kind of how it all started when he was really young, his entrepreneur sort of mindset, how he's been building his platform, the hard work that he's put into it. And it really, even for somebody who in the industry, and I know what goes into building an Instagram, what goes into being an influencer, and obviously a lot of people have some very, you know, maybe I would say misguided opinions that it's just like, it's just about sitting at home and taking a cute selfie and then you're done for the day. That might be very well for some influencers, but for a lot of them, it's about really making sure that you're making content, you're on top of it all the time. You never quite switch off because you're answering DMs, you're answering comments, you're doing lives, you're doing Insta stories, you're taking photos, you're trying to be on top of trends, you're trying to create trends. It's like all these different things. There's new platforms, you've got to be on top of that, you've got to diversify, all this stuff and how much work goes in behind the scenes to building a large community online. And I really enjoyed listening to some of Josh's insights about like how hard he's worked. You know, obviously it's not hard work. He's not outside doing any labor, but it's a time-consuming job that's mentally quite draining because it's always on your mind. Even for me, when I consume Instagram, I'm looking at posts from people, I'm looking at reels, and I'm like, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do this. And I'm always thinking how I can make it into content for myself. Oh, I could take that and make it into this. I could do that. You know, you just never really switch off. And then I'm constantly getting DMs that I'm trying to reply to. You know, you're trying to engage with other people's content online. I'm trying to look for stuff for the influencers that I work with, ideas for podcasts. And you're constantly like, your brain never switches off. Like a normal person who consumes Instagrams and just looks at the photos for what they are, when you're sort of in the industry, it's like you're never able to quite switch that off. The internet is 24 hours a day. So it's quite interesting to hear his insights. So if you have like a bit of a, I guess, preconceived idea about what influencers are, that might be an interesting episode for you to listen to the Ed Milette Show. All right, what I've read this month, I am recommending the Rodham book by Curtis Sittenfeld. And that is a book about Hillary Clinton, I guess. And it's sort of like a sliding doors thing. So initially the book starts out following her early life as like, you know, in high school, going into college and when she meets Bill Clinton. And then at some point it takes a turn and she breaks up with Bill Clinton. And then it kind of shows what her political path could have been if she never married Bill Clinton. Obviously, it's complete fiction. There are elements of the story that are based in fact. You know, some of the like the things that she studies and some of the speeches that she gives and things like that, her policies, all of that stuff is sort of based in fact. But, you know, the idea of the story is like, who could Hillary Clinton have been if she didn't marry Bill Clinton? And I just thought it was like a really interesting topic. There were parts of it that were a little more sexual than I would like to have had in my mind's eye about Bill Clinton, to be honest. Not really into Clinton porn, but It's not too much of it. It gets a little dirty there in the middle. But I really just found it like an interesting fiction book. And I don't really read fiction very often. I'm usually reading either like biographies or educational kind of books, self-help kind of stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I found this to be one of my friends, Emily, she said to me while I was on holidays, like, read a book that you're not learning anything. Like, seriously. So I chose that book because it had come highly recommended. And I did enjoy it. I find it hard to read nonfiction books. To read fiction books unless they're crime. Usually that's my like choice, but I did enjoy this book, so I recommend it. And my February book is going to be 5-Minute Therapy by Sarah Crosby. So that's what I have coming up, just sort of give you that little tidbit there. All right, the coursework that I did this month, I did a masterclass course with Sarah Blakely where she teaches entrepreneurship, which I found interesting. I've done a bunch of courses with the With Honors courses and Create and Cultivate. So those are the three platforms I have memberships with: Masterclass, With Honors, Create and Cultivate. Now, masterclass is like hours and hours and hours usually of content, and it's quite in depth. Whereas With Honors and Create and Cultivate are sort of like, I don't know, like 10-minute videos about like how to build a following, or like a 17-minute video on how to do branding, just like really quick tidbits. And what I have found with most of these courses, and I get messages all the time saying like, is it worth the money? Is it worth this? There's no way for me to tell if it's worth it for you. I'm not really, if I'm being honest, learning anything new in any of these courses. Most of it is like obvious things that I already know because I work in the industry for the things that I'm learning. However, it really motivates me in a way that I'm like, oh my God, yes, like I've got to make these changes. And like I already know them, that I need to make this change to my branding or whatever it is. But it's like motivates to me to head in the right direction for that and be very focused on that. So that's what I'm loving these courses for. All right, next up is products that I'm recommending this month. I don't have a whole heap, but what I do have is some new post-its, guys, or sticky notes. The brand is called Cloth and Paper, and they make these like transparent sticky notes, which I am absolutely loving. And they're in all these really sort of like neutral tones, like beiges and browns, caramels, blush pink kind of colors. And I'm just loving them at the minute. My diary last year was very much like bright colors, highlighters, bright post-its. And this year it's like I've got sort of like nude vibes going on. I'm bloody loving it. So yeah, Cloth and Paper, they are an American company. And you have to like obviously pay expensive amounts of shipping to get them over here, all of that, blah, blah, blah. But I really like it. So maybe if you, a couple of you and your friends can go in together and get them. I highly recommend those. And they have stickability, which is key for a fucking sticky note. I hate it when you buy a sticky note from Kmart or whatever, it barely even sticks. Like these have great stickability. So I highly recommend. All right, that's it for this week's recommendations. Let's finish with the thought of the week. And it comes from something Jamila Jamil said in her podcast, I Weigh, that I listened to, that I recommended. New year, not new me, but happier me. Bloody love that. It's not always about like fully changing ourselves, but making those tweaks to recognize what makes us happy. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'll be back on Tuesday with a new episode. But in the meantime, remember to watch a few oldies but goodies and protect the skin you're in. Follow me on Instagram @CourtneyMangan and @SheWasTheFire. Subscribe and share. Bye.